Just out of curiosity, how are the women and the girls involved on your campuses? What doors and opportunities are being facilitated for these young women? They've been very silent through this event. I bet they have questions also. And I say that, you know, in all respect, because they're here, and how are they being utilized? And I would like to add one, if I may, one little four-point thing about the evangelism thing that I think goes along with what's being said. One is to ask meaningful questions. Second is to listen intently. Thirdly is to fall in love with the soul of the person that you are encountering. And fourthly is to wait for the Holy Spirit. Not my question.
All right. Well, I think if you, with our ministry, this is something TC and I were talking about last night. All of our small groups have a male and female leader in them. They have male and female interns. And the males work with the males, females work with the females. My wife is just as invested in the campus ministry as I am. She has meetings with her girls throughout the week. She has them in her small group. She's on the phone with them every day. She is just as intricately involved in the campus ministry as what I would be. And the same thing for TC's wife, Maria, and for Juan's wife, Summer. We view it as if they weren't there, half the campus ministry would be in a lot of trouble. So they do a tremendous amount of work, in doing those things, and they keep us in line and help us think of things that we would normally forget. And we get a whole other side of input that we wouldn't normally think about that, you know, has made our events better, made our cross chats better, just little suggestions that they give us, things like that that are tremendous help.
I think for us, again, and it's not just a figurehead kind of thing, because when it comes to, with our marriage retreat this year in the whole church, you know, we've got these ideas, and the ladies come up with some ideas that are incredible. You know, our whole thing is going to be, you know, we're getting kind of tired of the same old marriage thing. I said, my wife said, what if we were to do famous couples instead of having a banquet? We'll have a ball, and we could have people dress up. We'll give them a prize, but then we can just cover famous couples in the scripture and just talk about from a more spiritual thing. Well, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that, quite frankly. So we're going as Adam and Eve, but it's kind of...
I think this might be a good thing to inject here. One thing I did not share with you in the context of campus evangelism and what God did through that ministry is that I almost lost my family during that period. I was out trying to save the world and to save the campus, and would drop by home every second or third weekend. And my family actually learned to live independent of me. And many times when I went home, although they loved me, it was an interruption into their mode of living by necessity. And I believe next to your own relationship with Jesus Christ, your number one priority in campus ministry, if you're married, is your wife and your children. And I so appreciate what this brother said about modeling as a couple. My wife says, and I quote my wife a lot, she says you can look at a woman, look at a wife, and tell if she's being cared for. It shows up on the countenance. And brothers, love your wives, and wives, love your husbands. And one of the things we've done in latter years, your ministry, understanding of Scripture may not allow you to do this, but we very often minister together. We stand up together, and we back and forth together. And just has so many insightful things to share. And we have had couple after couple after couple come and say, it was good stuff, but the thing that communicated to us was that you were ministering together. And I want you to work, encourage you to work creatively in building your marriage every day of your life. Because you are in one, if we can call it an occupation, you are in one of the most susceptible occupations in the nation for losing your spouse. Now, I know some lose them after they're still living together. But give your attention to loving your wife and nurturing your wife, and wives to loving your husband. What I mean, the marriage can be broken even though they're still in the same house. But just model that, and I affirm you singles, and you know, and God just has something special for you in this season of your life. But I just want to encourage those of you who are campus ministers and those of you who are preachers, you know, love on your wives, because it tells when they're being loved on.
And one thing also that I think is important to realize, that's not in opposition to your ministry. It enhances your ministry. We've had, you know, whenever you hear people at the Crossings and at Greater Alton, the things that we would hear, why are you coming around? Here's the regular things we would hear. Number one, the people were so friendly after they were at church. Secondly, and these are people I talk with about why they became Christians. Well, because the worship was so enthusiastic, because the sermons were so practical. But up there, equal to all of those, was we watched your marriage and your family. And I would like to say the reason they came is because of the great preaching, but that wasn't it. I hear more. It's kind of sad. But honestly, and so Carrie and their our families, we live in a culture that is starving for love. The number of divorces and failures of marriage, and the fact that people are still getting married, says this is something they desperately want and are clueless about how to do. So when we stand up as marriages and families that Christ has saturated, and our relationships are better and our relationships are admirable, you have an incredible draw that we've almost overlooked with just the power of a loving relationship and a committed family. So it's a huge investment. And by the way, I think Paul would say that if you're not leading your family, you've disqualified yourself from leadership. There are fundamental things that you learn when you understand how to get along with your wife, and how I learn, and then being the right kind of husband, and how I am as a father. There are fundamental things that I learned that God has given me, somebody who loves me enough that they would say, I'll stick with you forever. Most of our churches haven't made that commitment. That marriage is the training ground that God has said, here, learn how to lead with somebody who really loves you, because if they won't put up with you, your church hasn't got a shot. And so it's a great opportunity. It's incredible. And I would go just from that idea of understanding this will not hurt your ministry. This will enhance your ministry. And I would be lost without Rita. I mean, honestly, there are certain people that just go, it's Robert and Rita. And one of the things we talk about, if you have when I think of couples and I think of one and not the other, it alarms me. But so it's not something that's going to deter from your ministry.
And fortunate are you if you have a wife who will tell you the truth.
I don't know about that.
You know, and I believe that's a part of the support. That's a part of the support. I have a wife who is very loving and very gracious, but she'll tell me the truth. And everybody needs somebody who will speak into their lives.
One of my regrets through the years is that I did not encourage my wife, Sharon, to develop ministry just like I had, not beyond me, but our women are ministers too. They have gifts and abilities, and my wife's ministry doesn't depend on her being with me. And so we are together by the glory of God. God's blessed me with a great marriage, and that is wonderful. We minister together. But I think about all the single people out there, and you have a ministry. Women, you don't need to find a man to have a ministry. And so I think that's alive and thriving in the models that I've seen. Some of the greatest leaders in campus ministry are women, my perspective.
That's right. Amen. Preach. I better take a turn or I'm going to be in trouble. I think in our ministry, the only way I can can really address what you just asked and add to what they've said here is really kind of this simple. I believe if you were to take the majority of the women in our ministry and try to engage them in a debate or discussion or whatever you want to call it about what women can do in the church, they would probably look at you and say, you know, I'm a little too busy doing to spend time debating that. They're very active in our ministry, and they're active because they know they're valuable. And they know you're valuable because we know they're valuable. They teach us more than we teach them.